therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
The coronavirus crisis moves into a new, more dangerous phase. It's Thursday, March 12th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Tune us in right now on Facebook, VOA Asia. Also ahead, almost nobody in the U.S. is satisfied with the efforts to contain the virus. Will the Olympics still happen in Japan? And another big night for Joe Biden. It's all ahead on today's VOA Asia. As of Wednesday, the Center for System Science and Engineering at Johns Hopkins University tracked the total number of COVID-19 coronavirus cases at 121,564. That number will go up. That includes 10,149 in Italy, the country with the second most number of confirmed cases. Iran, as of today, has 9,000, and South Korea with 7,755. Now, what does all this mean? The World Health Organization Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus says the world is facing a new threat.
WHO has been assessing this outbreak around the clock, and we're deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic. Pandemic is not a word to use lightly or carelessly. It's a word that, if misused, can cause unreasonable fear or unjustified acceptance that the fight is over, leading to unnecessary suffering and death.
One effort put in place can be seen in Iraq, where the country canceled Friday prayers in the Shiite holy city of Karbala due to concerns about the coronavirus. Prayers were also canceled last Friday as a precaution. In financial news, U.S. markets closed significantly lower, a move that echoed markets in Asia, while European markets were mixed. The Bank of England slashed its key interest rate by half a percentage point to 0.25% on Wednesday in an emergency response to the economic shock of the coronavirus outbreak. The central bank said the move would help support businesses and consumer confidence at a, quote, difficult time. The cut follows similar reductions from the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of Canada. Now, looking forward to summer, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics are slated to kick off this July. But a Tokyo Olympic committee member told Reuters that if the Olympics can't be held this summer, a delay of 1 or 2 years would be feasible. Reuters' Libby Hogan has those details.
If the coronavirus makes the Tokyo Olympics impossible to hold this summer, an organizing official said a 1 or 2 year delay is realistic, and also said a cancel would be too costly. Up until now, the Tokyo Olympic Committee has been tight-lipped, not making a call about postponing or cancelling the Games due to begin July 24, despite speculation swirling. The official Haruyuki Takahashi told Reuters the Tokyo Organising Committee has started to work on scenarios for how the virus could affect the Games. He says the financial damage from cancelling the Games or holding them without spectators would be too great. On Tuesday, officials again insisted the Olympics would not be called off.
At this time, we are not thinking about cancelling or postponing the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics at all. So there's no truth in suggestions that we are considering measures if that happens.
The latest budget for the Tokyo 2020 Games stands at nearly $13 billion. Japan's government pitched in more than $1 billion alone to build the Olympic Stadium. Experts say a one-year postponement to the same time next year would pose major logistical problems, but was doable for broadcasters because of their generally open summer schedule. Ultimately, the final decision belongs to the International Olympic Committee chief, Thomas Bach. Japan has reported nearly 1,300 cases, including the 700 from a cruise ship that was quarantined near Tokyo last month. On Tuesday, Public broadcaster NHK said Japan saw 59 new cases, the biggest number of infections in a single day.
It was Libby Hogan from Reuters. And we invite you to read more on this top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and our website, voanews.com. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. The United States is accusing authoritarian governments around the world of suppressing people with severe human rights violations and abuses. The Taliban Wednesday rejected an Afghan government order that allows for the conditional release of thousands of insurgent prisoners. Myanmar's parliament rejected a proposed constitutional amendment that would have allowed the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, to officially become president. And Afghanistan's President Ashraf Ghani issued a decree releasing thousands of Taliban prisoners as the U.S. military begins a troop drawdown in that country. Watch and read more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter, plus voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. U.S. President Donald Trump attempted to reassure nervous Americans as cases of the coronavirus rose into the hundreds across the nation. But the administration is at odds with congressional Democrats who say Trump's plans to lessen the economic fallout of the crisis won't help the hardest hit American workers. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports.
An appeal to the American people.
We're prepared and we're doing a great job with it, and it will go away. Just stay calm.
But the impact on the U.S. economy may not go away. And with the announcement, an area outside New York City became the first U.S. containment zone, growing concern about the administration response.
We are very worried about the president's incompetence and lack of focus on fighting the spread of coronavirus. We believe that his lack of focus is hamstringing efforts to address this public crisis and inflicting pain on the stock market. One word could describe thus far the administration's response: incompetence.
The White House coronavirus team said the administration was making progress in lagging testing.
Every state lab in America can do coronavirus tests. By the end of this week, another 4 million tests will be distributed.
But as the $1.6 trillion travel industry takes a serious hit and workers wonder if they will have to take sick leave without pay, the administration offered few details on a proposed tax cut to stimulate the economy.
I think there will be a big growth payoff.
Trump proposing those tax cuts last until after the November election, prompting many Democrats to say he isn't putting the American people first.
We need to fill in the gaps in the healthcare system. We shouldn't get away with thinking that just a holiday on a payroll tax will make a difference for workers in this country.
Many lawmakers questioning if they should be in the nation's capital at all. Some closing their offices out of caution and wondering if they're helping spread the virus from hard-hit areas such as Seattle.
For us in Washington State, the epicenter, flying back and forth is probably not the smartest thing for us to be doing.
But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told lawmakers Congress would not leave the Capitol, as Democrats said there was still too much important work to do.
We need widespread and free coronavirus testing. The bottlenecks that don't allow the approval of tests, that don't allow states and private labs to do the tests and do them quickly, must end.
Action so the U.S. can avoid even more catastrophic consequences. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Capitol Hill.
Happening now in Asia, Hubei province began allowing factories and some other businesses to reopen Wednesday in a show of confidence that Beijing is gaining control over COVID-19. Chinese leaders are trying to revive business after the most sweeping anti-disease controls ever imposed. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. And we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Since the first COVID-19 fatalities in the U.S. originated from a nursing facility in the state of Washington, there is a deep concern among health experts, patients, and their families that elder care facilities are especially vulnerable. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
The first deaths from the coronavirus in the U.S. took place at the Life Care Center, a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington, in late February. So far, more than 20 people have died in the state, the great majority of them residents from the Kirkland facility. It has been a heart-wrenching time for Vanessa Phelps, whose 90-year-old mother is a resident of the Life Care Center. She hasn't been able to see her since the center went into lockdown.
So she's feeling claustrophobic, depressed, stressed. This past week, she's felt the stress of the staff and me not being able to visit her.
That's the kind of scenario health experts are worried about. As the number of cases continue to rise, experts are increasingly concerned about the spread of COVID-19 in elder care facilities across the country.
It is a concern, and I think the experience out in Washington State has been enlightening, that this virus is deadly for the elderly and those with impaired immune systems. So in those type of facilities where there are clustered groups of elderly, they need to work really hard to keep the virus out of their facility.
The situation in Washington State is tragic. An outbreak in a long-term care facility is one of the things we have been worried about from day one.
Part of the concern is the general shortage of coronavirus test kits. So residents in elder care facilities are being quarantined while they wait, which is causing anxiety and uncertainty for family members like Phelps.
If emergencies happen like this, you should be prepared. Separate the people that have it and don't have it. Test everybody. I've been tested twice in a 7-day period, yet my mom hasn't been tested once. Unacceptable.
Health experts say they are working on that and providing guidelines to facilities across the country should the virus strike.
If a resident becomes sick in a nursing home with what's called an influenza-like illness, which is fever, sometimes cough, shortness of breath, other signs like that, the staff know that that person needs not only appropriate clinical evaluation and care, but also precautions to prevent the spread to other residents.
Staff and visitors are also being told to self-quarantine for 2 weeks if they think they've been exposed to the virus, something Vanessa Phelps is already doing.
I'm numb. It's been 7 days of hell. And I'm numb. I can't cry anymore. I've turned myself off. I have. I have to for self-preservation.
Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
And you're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Thailand's election commission said it would file criminal charges of breaching electoral law against the leader of the now defunct Future Forward Party. The complaint comes less than a month after Constitutional Court dissolved the party and banned 16 of its top officials. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia continues. As the coronavirus spreads around the world, health officials are urging people not to go to work if they are sick. But for many U.S. workers, staying at home means they will not get paid. And that's a luxury they can't afford. VOA's Steve Barragona takes a look at the issue of paid sick leave.
Ellie Gote manages the beverage service here at Busboys and Poets, a Washington restaurant and bookstore. Last month, she got the flu.
And I was out for like several days because my doctor was like, you're going to get everybody sick if you go back to work.
That's what officials say about coronavirus, too.
If you feel unwell, stay at home.
Stay home when you're sick.
It's a good idea to stay home when you're sick.
Okay.
But in a lifetime of restaurant work, Gote says Busboys and Poets is the first job where she could stay home and not lose her wages.
When the option is putting food on the table or staying home sick, you know, a lot of people, they're going to always opt to put food on the table.
Who knows? You know, somebody's relative may be visiting.
Andy Shalal owns Busboys and Poets.
I worked as a waiter. I worked as a cook. I've done all these things. For me, it was a no-brainer.
But the United States is one of the only countries in the world without a national law requiring sick leave for at least part of the workforce. Shalal pushed for Washington, D.C. to pass one of the nation's first paid sick leave measures.
I want to go out to eat and not have somebody sneeze on my food.
Studies have found that paid sick leave policies can lower the spread of diseases, up to 40% in one study during a flu outbreak. Most employers offer paid sick leave, and 12 states plus the District of Columbia now require them. But nationwide, about a quarter of U.S. workers are not covered. Most are low-wage employees, many in restaurants and other jobs interacting with the public. With the COVID-19 outbreak, the issue is getting attention from Congress and President Trump.
We're also going to be talking about hourly wage earners getting help so that they can be in a position where they're not going to ever miss a paycheck.
Democrats have pushed for a national paid sick leave law for years. Business groups and Republicans have opposed them as too costly and restrictive. But opposition is softening as the coronavirus outbreak spreads. Shalal says that's a good outcome from a bad situation.
Sometimes it takes a coronavirus type of thing for us to start thinking in terms of, maybe the way we've been doing things isn't necessarily making America great.
The proposed sick leave law may only apply during a public health emergency. It remains to be seen whether paid time off for the common flu, a stomach bug, or anything else contagious is still on the menu after the COVID-19 outbreak ends. Steve Barragona, VOA News, Washington.
Now on VOA Asia, former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden swept victories Tuesday over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in the Democratic presidential nominating contests in four states, including pivotal Michigan in the Midwest heartland of the country. Jackie Quinn has this roundup.
It was the second Super Tuesday in a row for former Vice President Joe Biden, winning the lion's share of delegates in a six-state vote.
This campaign is taking off, and I believe we're going to do well from this point on.
He has a message for rival Bernie Sanders, who needed but didn't win the battleground state of Michigan.
We share a common goal, and together we'll defeat Donald Trump.
Adopting one of Sanders' key phrases,
affordable health care, total health care, not a privilege but a right.
Sanders did not speak publicly after the election results. He and Biden both canceled rallies in Cleveland over coronavirus fears. So Biden addressed a small group in Philadelphia.
When he means uniting America, not sowing more division and anger, it means having a president who not only knows how to fight, but knows how to heal.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
By the way, if it sounded like those people were speaking in largely empty rooms, they were. All political rallies have been canceled due to the coronavirus. Finally today, Israel has imposed strict regulations for a two-week quarantine for all arriving Israelis and tourists because of the coronavirus outbreak. With the measures taking effect just before Passover and Easter holidays, both Israelis and Palestinians are bracing for an economic hit. In the West Bank town of Bethlehem, they've already declared a state of emergency. Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Anybody landing in Israel will have to enter an immediate two-week quarantine as Israeli officials oppose strict new rules, hoping to stop the spread of coronavirus. Tourists have until Thursday to leave the country, and then they will have to prove they have a place where they can be quarantined. As of Tuesday, 58 Israelis have been diagnosed with the coronavirus, although the number is expected to rise. Dr. Arnona Fake, the director of the Sheba Medical Center, Israel's largest hospital, compares the Israeli government's measures to the drastic approach taken by China.
So Israel is doing just the same. And when we look at what's been happening in
Italy, and we still don't know what will be in the USA, I think that what Israel has done is remarkable, and I hope that it at least will delay the arrival of the corona to our community.
Last week, Israel announced that anyone arriving from several European countries, including Italy, France, and Switzerland, would have to go into home quarantine. That would apply to an estimated 80,000 Israelis who either returned from abroad or had contact with someone with the virus. Among those infected, one man, a Palestinian bus driver from East Jerusalem, was in serious condition after catching it from Greek tourists who had been on his bus. The new rules coincided with Israel's lively holiday Purim, which involves wearing costumes and drinking. Many large events and parades were canceled. They also come ahead of what are normally busy shopping and tourist seasons leading up to Passover and Easter. Two smaller Israeli charter airlines, Arkia and Israel, said they were suspending operations, and the national airline El Al has begun laying off 1,000 workers. Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion Airport has been almost empty and hundreds of flights have been canceled. Economists estimate the damage will be more than $1 billion each month. Some health officials say the restrictions are likely to continue into the summer. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel is working hard to find new solutions to the crisis. He said that Israel is trying to develop a home testing kit for corona, which will make it easier to limit the number of people in quarantine. In Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem, church bells tolled over an empty manger square where Christians believe Jesus was born. The Palestinian Authority closed off the town last week after 7 hotel workers were diagnosed with coronavirus. A group of American pilgrims who were originally stuck in a hotel in the nearby West Bank town of Beit Jala were allowed to leave after they all tested negative. The Palestinian Authority announced that all schools and universities would be closed for the next 30 days. Tourists were turned away and sent back to Israel. Concern is growing that coronavirus could reach the densely populated Gaza Strip. Under an Israeli blockade for years, health workers fear the Hamas-controlled enclave does not have enough medical facilities or proper sanitation to deal with the virus. On Tuesday, there were no cases reported in Gaza, but officials say they are watching the situation closely. Linda Gradstein for VOA News, Jerusalem.
And before we leave today, we just want to revisit the major top story that we're reporting today. The World Health Organization has determined that the fast-spreading coronavirus outbreak is now a pandemic and warned that the worst is likely yet to come. Quote, in the past 2 weeks, the number of COVID-19 infections outside China has increased 13-fold, and the number of affected countries has tripled, said WHO Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus on Wednesday. Tedros said WHO is, quote, deeply concerned by both the alarming spread and severity and the alarming levels of inaction. Quote, in the days and weeks ahead, we expect to see the number of COVID-19 cases, the number of deaths, and the number of affected countries to climb even higher. Governments around the world are trying to take steps to address the ever-changing outbreak and the new coronavirus, which, since December, has infected more than 118,000 people. That number is low and will go up and has killed about 4,300 in 14 countries. Tedros said his organization has rung the alarm bell loud and clear and that countries can still change the course of this pandemic. Well, that is VOA Asia for today. Thank you so much for joining us. The news not necessarily so good today, but we will always be there to tell you the truth. And we'll be back with you again tomorrow. We hope you'll join us then as well. And until then, be well.